Welcome back to the Lone Star Money Resource. You're here with Jason Shreve and Mark Connolly. We have special guest Brian Gibbs today from Refund Retriever. Happy to have him on. If you missed the first section, we were just discussing a little bit about Refund Retriever. Brian, talk to us a little bit. Just give us a brief recap again of what exactly it is you do, and then also how, if there's someone out there that would like to reach out and use your services, how could they contact you?
Okay, so Refund Retriever, we basically audit FedEx and UPS packages for large volume shippers. Any package you send out is guaranteed to arrive by a certain day or time. It's not there, it's free. They don't come back to you and say, sorry about that, here's your 10 packages that were late and here's your money back. We download your invoices, find all the late packages and other billing mistakes, have the money put back onto your account, and if there's no refunds, no credits, there's no charge. If we do find you any refunds, it's just a percentage of those refunds. And you can reach us at 800-441-8085. Or go on our website. It's refundretriever.com.
Awesome. Well, kind of jumping back into what we were talking about in the last segment. I mean, I think it's cool to hear the story that you started a totally, you had the entrepreneur spirit. You started a totally different business, happened to kind of run into seeing that there was a marketplace for doing Refund Retriever. You launched it, but you kind of took some baby steps, and then you were able to actually go full force, and this is what you're doing now. Aggie 100 fastest growing company. That's pretty awesome. And so the big question is, as people are listening, how do you balance this newfound success with family? So I guess tell me about family life and personal life, and how do you balance all this?
It's difficult, but it's not difficult, I guess. You know, I have a wife and two kids, and I find that, you know, I drop, when I wake up in the morning, I drop my kids off at their each school, and I get into the office pretty early because the kids go to the school early. And as soon as I'm in that office, it's head down and working. So from, you know, I get there a little bit before 8, and then I do CrossFit. So awesome. That I do a CrossFit class at 4:30, try to do it every day. And I know in my mind, hey, 4 o'clock, 4:15, I'm heading out the door. And most people in the office also know, okay, he's going to leave at 4:15, 4 o'clock. So they know there's that time there. If they have any concerns or questions, they want to see me, I'm going to be sitting at that desk. You know, I don't go to lunch. I don't really go out and do much. When I'm working, I'm working. And at 4:30, when I go in that CrossFit class, you know, there's no phones, there's nothing else. There's no outside interaction. And that's, it's kind of like a shutoff switch for me. Like, it's as soon as I drop my kids off, I really start thinking about the day. And then as soon as I go into that class and you go on that first 400 meter run just to warm up, my mind just kind of goes blank. I don't think about the office because I know I have a really tough workout coming up ahead. And if I'm thinking about other stuff, I just don't do well. So I know I kind of mentally prepare myself, and that's like my shutoff for the day. And before I started working out and stuff, you know, regularly, I would go home and, you know, pull my laptop up after dinner with the kids. And I still do that some, of course, because, you know, you have to. But I don't do it a lot. I have, you know, we have an office in the house, but I don't really like to go in there if I don't have to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I first started the company, you know, we ran it out of my house for a little bit. I actually was home with the kids until I think they were about 4 and 2, until I couldn't really run my day-to-day operations and take care of kids.
How old are your kids?
Now they are 5 and 7.
Okay. All right.
So, I mean, and it was a completely separate part of the house, so we could isolate everything. And we had, you know, our own office in there, and I had 3 people in there with me, and it was great. But there was still that, you know, that I wasn't able to turn it off, because if I ever needed to do something, I could walk to the office and start doing work. And, you know, looking back on it, it was good for at the time. You know, I needed to do it, but it wasn't probably the best thing in the world to have that ease of access, you know, because your mind was always on.
Yeah,
and you got to have that break.
It sounds like something that's really helped you to balance that life and make sure that your, you know, business and family life is just make sure that you're scheduling out your time, and then when you're at home with the kids, and when you're at work, you make sure that you're working, getting things done that way. Or if you're working out, you're focusing on working out that way. You're always present.
Yes,
and that's something I think that Mark and I hear from quite a few entrepreneurs and just very busy people in general, is just make sure you're present at in every aspect of your life.
Yeah.
I think it was the movie Wall Street, Gordon Gekko. He said, lunch is for wimps. Now, I'm not referring to Gordon Gekko, by the way. Hell yeah. But, you know, that's cool. You're like, hey, I'm this is when I'm doing this, and this is when I'm doing this. So
yeah.
I think that that's wonderful advice for people to take. I know, just it's funny, because I was thinking about when I used to be able to work at home with my kids, and it didn't seem to be a problem. And it's like now at, you know, I've got the 6 and the 2 year old. Even if I go to a separate room, they're knocking.
They find you. They find you.
There is no doubt. All right, cool. So you work out for fun. What else do you for fun?
Love to hunt.
Okay.
You know, I love deer hunting.
Me too.
It's one of my favorite things, just to go out somewhere where you don't get cell phone reception. That's great. And, you know, do a lot of stuff with the kids and skiing. We went skiing with the family, and everybody except my son, he skis. Everybody skis except for my son. And he did 3 days of ski school. And after that, he's still a little too young to maneuver yet. So hopefully next year he'll get it. But my daughter, she's a little maniac on skis now. We were taking her down Blues, and she was behind us the whole time.
Do you have your go-to spot, or do you travel around to different areas?
Our go-to spot now is like the Breckenridge area.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been there 3 or 4 times. My wife are probably going in March, so that's our go-to area also.
I will just break bones if I go skiing, so I'll bow out of that part of the conversation.
I do my fair share of that, too. I like it.
Mark's into scuba. What's his saying?
I said that I had to find a sport that did not require hand-eye coordination. I can breathe, therefore I can scuba dive.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, well, just everybody out there listening, please be aware that our next upcoming coaching event, if you want to learn about the impact that Donald Trump going into the presidency can have on your investment portfolios and how to structure them to give yourself the best possible chance for a successful and peaceful investing experience, you need to come to our live coaching events. Our next one is going to be on January 19th at 6:30 in the evening. It's going to be at Perry's. So if this is something that is of interest to you, you need to call. Pretty much you need to call right now, because these always fill up, and especially with the presidency change, this one for sure will as well. 281-220-2713. You can talk to Chrissy, and she will be happy to get your RSVP for that. Or if you just have questions, or maybe you can't come to this one, but we have one every month and you want to start getting those invites, let us know. We're happy to get those out to you.
Mark, make this part of your New Year's resolution. You know, get a plan in place, a financial plan, and make sure that you know exactly what you're doing with your investment portfolio for 2017 and beyond.
Absolutely. And we are here with Brian Gibbs of Refund Retriever, who is an entrepreneur who's sharing his wisdom with us, who we're very thankful to have here. And he's been just taking us a little bit of how he started the business, what the business does, how family life works and fun life works with running a business. So maybe you could give us a little bit of maybe some success and failure stories, because, you know, everybody hears about great things and they tend to think that, you know, when they see someone that's had some success, that it's just always that way. And I think it's always good for us to talk about some of the failure stories and what we learn from them.
I think one thing that I guess learned, it's kind of a failure story, but it's a more of a cautionary, like, don't try to grow too fast. Like, kind of, you know, that's in our programming and our database stuff, you know, we really make sure to cover all our bases before we introduce something, or, you know, make sure we get all the bugs out to, you know, to prevent that. And, you know, with programming, somebody gives you a 2-month time frame to get something done. More than likely for, you know, for us, it's a 4-month time frame. So you gotta, you know, you gotta understand that there are things that are gonna come up, and, you know, you just gotta kind of roll with it and understand that, you know, in a lot of stuff that we do, we could have introduced it when we thought it was gonna come out, but there are certain pitfalls that you don't know about that if you don't have all your bases covered, you know, the whole thing could crash. And once a client has a kind of a bad interaction with something, they're usually not going to like it after that. So, you know, we've always tried to make sure that everything that we do is backed up, and we know where all of the failures could be. So, I mean, I guess, and also making sure that your programmers and the people that work for you understand that, you know, if something's not right, you know, I don't want it. I don't want you to hurry something out the door if it's not perfect. And I have a hard time, you know, being a business owner, wanting to push product out and introduce new services. And I guess that's kind of like my flaw, is I wanted everything yesterday. And just understanding that somebody's best product you could have had yesterday, but, or somebody's product you could have had, but it's not their best product.
Right.
And yep. Knowing, okay, give that person the time they need to give you exactly what you want. And that's the hardest thing for me to do. And, but I understand it. I don't like it, but it's something you gotta do.
That's part of that entrepreneurial spirit too. You want to, go and produce.
Oh, I wanted everything.
And create
yesterday.
Value,
yeah.
And it's tough to rein that in sometimes.
Yeah, very tough.
Where do you think you got that spirit from?
Well, my father always had his own business, and he was in the corrugated box business for a long time.
What is it?
Like cardboard boxes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He had a company in Dallas, and my stepdad had his own business for a while, and you know, just seeing them having their own thing, their own entity that they could call their own, and you know, they get to build it as fast as they want, or as you know, as big as they want. I always kind of like that.
Yeah.
And you know, just seeing other like success stories, I guess, growing up also, like seeing the way that you know, people have grown from nothing to something. I've always liked that, you know, that American spirit. And, you know, a lot of my friends, I don't know many of them that have their own businesses that started much of anything. I have a whole lot of friends that always have ideas for business. So they have, you know, whenever the app craze was big, you know, I have this idea for an app that's going to be great. Well, okay, that's a great idea, but, you know, get it off the ground.
You've got to get off the couch.
Yeah.
there's a lot more that goes into it than just the idea.
I mean, when I first started my first company, just starting a company and filing the paperwork and getting your federal tax ID, you know, in business school, they didn't teach me any of that. So I had to, like, research all that from scratch. And I liked that also. I liked, you know, finding my own answers and doing all that. And there's not a lot of people that actually – we'll do that these days. So.
Yeah,
it's not an easy process, but
it's not.
You have to fumble your way through, and you'll figure it out as you go.
When you get paperwork back from the Secretary of State because you missed something on an application or something, and you know,
redo the whole thing. No doubt about it. Well, we're talking about being an entrepreneur, growing your business, and making it bigger. And at Wealth Design Group, we believe that is what these entrepreneurs are the best at, and we believe in letting them do it. We also believe that business owners need good consultants that will help them to begin what we call business exit planning, which is more of a just starting to put strategies in place to eventually leave the business, whether that's at retirement or to sell it sooner than that. That's what we're about at Wealth Design Group, is putting great strategies in place and plans in place that enable these entrepreneurs and business owners that are out there to be able to walk away on the terms that they are looking for. Part of that is investing, and our next investment coaching session is going to be on January 19th. We're going to be talking about the Trump presidency, how you should build your portfolio around it. You want to come to that, 281-220-2713, Lone Star Money Resource.